Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Come explore the wild heart of Utah with Oars. No notifications, no meetings, no signal. Just you, the river, and the space to reconnect with what matters most. From one-day adventures in Dinosaur National Monument to week-long journeys through canyonlands and beyond, Oars delivers unforgettable guided rafting experiences on some of the most iconic rivers in the West. Visit oars.com/Utah to start planning your next great adventure. Let's go rafting.
Welcome back to Mad Chat, everybody. I'm Tegwith, and I've got a really, really, really fun guest with me today. You may have heard of Maddie through, or Maddie's work through the Reality Bar, which is not only, like, I'm so jealous I don't live in LA because Reality Bar is just, like, the thing. Maddie, I'm so excited to have you on. Thank you so much for joining me. I would love to, but I know we're going to get into the episode and we're going to talk about Survivor, but I would love to talk about Reality Bar for a second, because I think this is such an interesting idea you had, and I love seeing it from, like, it's on the other side of the country, but I absolutely love seeing it. Can you tell us what Reality Bar is and where you had this idea?
Yeah, absolutely. Reality Bar, we are a pop-up event series, and we do events around reality TV, whether it's like watch parties or trivia or things like that. But I had the idea, I think it was like 2021. I was like having my friends over to like watch The Bachelor on a Monday night, drinking wine and like having a cheese board. And I was just mad that I had to clean up every time. And I was like, why can't we go to a sports bar like everyone who watches sports? And then I convinced my local sports bar to put on The Bachelor. And at first they laughed at me and I was like, okay, I was like, fine. But then they ended up putting it on. And then there were other people in the bar that were like, is that The Bachelor? And they're just a bunch of guys. So like, we watched that with our friends. Can we watch with you? I was like, of course. And then after that, I was just like, I feel like there's something there. Like, I think reality TV is something that drives pop culture, viral culture, and has such a strong like online community. And I just thought it was really sad that there was no like physical place for that community to gather, like how sports fans have their local sports bar, or like they go to the games and like they have like a physical place to go to like be in community with other people that are interested in something that they're interested in. So then I started doing weekly watch parties. Survivor was my like second weekly watch party that I started doing after The Bachelor, once I started like doing Reality Bar. So yeah, that's Reality Bar.
That is so cool. I like, so it's actually one of those things where, one of my, I work in hospitality too. For those who don't know, I'm an events manager at a restaurant. And like one of my kind of like side dreams in my life is to open a sports bar, but for reality TV, and like have it be a physical place, because that's the thing. Like I will always compare reality TV and Survivor to sports because it is, mm-hmm. you know, we have, you know, there are physical, especially when it comes to competition reality TV, there are physical aspects of it. You know, I call myself kind of like a sideline reporter where I've never played the game, but I feel like I know a good amount. So I'm going to be on the sidelines like saying, oh, this person's injured and blah, 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 blah. And then you have podcasts that you can listen to. It's like the after game or the pregame, like sports. And it is one of those things where you just want to, there's something so electric about being not only watching the actual show, but just being around people who like the same things as you. Like, that's so fun where you don't have to explain, is that show still on? Yeah, it is. Like, yeah. Ugh. You just have a sense of camaraderie already with the people around you. And it's so fun. And I love what you're doing. Like, for those who don't know, she did Maddie, you hosted a Australia versus the World, I believe, finale party that Parvati and JLP yeah. was at.
That was wild.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I know that you like do a lot of things. You do a lot of stuff with Big Brother where you had like challenges and you gave away tickets to like the actual live audience, right?
Yeah, CBS was awesome and they like were feeding me props from their prop warehouse and every week would give me 2 tickets to the live taping to give away in some capacity at a watch party.
That's crazy. That's so cool. I'm just like so enamored. Like I'm so obsessed with this idea and I just love that you're like actually making it happen. It's so good. And I think that we're like reality TV fans are craving it. We're craving mm-hmm. it. So it's just the coolest thing ever. And I'm so excited to talk about Survivor with you. So how long have you been a fan of Survivor? Have you been watching for a while?
Oh my gosh. I am definitely like a COVID Survivor fan, but I remember like when I was little, like my friend's family really liked Survivor. Mm-hmm. So every time I was over at her house, I'd be watching Survivor. But yeah, it wasn't until COVID that I really got into it. Cause I have a lot of friends in LA that do this thing called Survivor, the drinking game.
Oh, hell yeah.
My friend Jono it's actually the 10th year that he's done Survivor, the drinking game. But a few of my friends like would just not shut up about it. And I was like, you know what? I'll give it a try.
And then you got hooked.
And then I just started watching a bunch of Survivor.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what happens. You don't mm-hmm. think that it's you're going to get enthralled. And then all of a sudden you're like, God, is it 4 a.m. and I'm still watching? Like,
yeah.
COVID was bad for the world, but it was so good for Survivor. You know, it was COVID. A lot of people started watching during COVID. And I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, it's been able to kind of make the resurgence that it's had. This season 49, are there any favorites? Are there any standouts that you are, you know, that are still in the game or anybody that have since that have, you know, been eliminated? Or is there anybody that really speaks to you?
I really like Sage. I think Sage is really funny. And I think she has played this kind of like understated game where she hasn't ever really been like in the line of fire, but she mm-hmm. is always involved in something. Also, we love Jawan in this house. We love Jawan. I'm from New Jersey and I moved to LA and Jawan, same thing. And I immediately DM'd him when I saw that he was from New Jersey and I was like, hey. And actually I recently played Survivor drinking game for the first time because I also vowed that I would never play Survivor the drinking game for whatever reason, because I knew I was gonna start caring about it too much. Shocker, I started caring about it too much. And I kid you not, I had an anxiety attack after I got blindsided while I was playing Survive the Drinking Game. And I remember my friend Lisa came to like, it's like they do it in an Airbnb and obviously there's a lot of drinking involved. But my friend Lisa was like sitting with me while I was like so upset, like it just in a room in the Airbnb, and I hear like a knock at the door and it's Jawan because he's producing the season. And I had like met him at a watch party. We had Annie come and like do a show at one of the watch parties. And I met Jawan that night and then like had an anxiety attack in front of him the next week. And no, but he was so sweet. And I literally just watched the season or the episode from last week, like all the way through, and saw at the end when Sage was talking about how Jawan was like her, like, like her kind of like home, like within the tribe. And I was just like, that makes a lot of sense. I was like, he was so good at at talking to me when I was having an anxiety attack. Like, makes a lot of sense. But yeah, we're huge Jawan fans.
Jawan was my preseason winner pick. He was the person that I thought was gonna pull out the W. Sadly, I was incorrect. Do you have anybody that you think will win? Do you think Sage is gonna win the season?
I don't know. I feel like I'm really bad at like predicting things, like what I think is gonna happen. I actually don't think Sage is gonna win. I really like Sage. I don't think she's gonna win. I don't really know who mm-hmm. I think is going to win, but I do have a theory about, wait, can I talk about the people that are going, that we know that are going to be on 50? Or
yeah, that's fine.
Like a no-go, like on live.
No, okay. You're good.
Well, I feel like a lot of people are like, okay, Rizzo or Savannah are going mm-hmm. to win, or it's Rizzo and Savannah that
it's
are
It's Rizzo
50.
And Savannah, yeah. Okay.
Whoa. I don't think either of them are winning. And I think they come in second and third. And then I think that's why they're on 50.
Love.
Okay. My theory that I've had in my head.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think, and I also will say, like, I've been seeing a lot of people commenting, like, oh, it's, you know, the post-merch has been kind of unpredictable or kind of predictable because those are the two that are going to be on. You kind of know that they're going to make it far. I think that the last episode, we've made it to a point where they have made their mark on the game. And I genuinely, like, every week I'm like, are they going to go home? Are they not? Like, I don't think that their spot in the game is guaranteed anymore. Mm-hmm. At the merge, I didn't think that they really made enough waves. You know, I didn't think that they did enough to get on 50. I think that they both have done enough to get on 50 at this point. Yeah. You know, with like Savannah and Christina, like that was super crazy. And Savannah getting immunities and just like using the extra vote and Rizzo with the idol and all of this stuff. Like, I think that they've made enough waves to where I can see why they're on 50. So like, it was the last episode where I was like, are they going to go? Are they not going to go? I had a feeling it was going to be Sophie gone. I don't know why. I just kind of was like, I feel like it's her time. Sophie with an E. And I'm not going to lie. I have wild predictions. I love to swing for the fences because, you know, there's no harm. Yeah. And I rarely get it right. And the fact that I did not get everything right, but the fact that I got that Sophie was going to go was absolutely shocking to me. I cannot remember a time where we'd had like a unanimous vote at this point in time. Like, it's so rare to get a unanimous vote for somebody to go home this late in the game because like there are alliances, the people move around, there are voting blocks. Like, were you shocked that it was Sophie? Like, even with that moment with Christina and Savannah at Tribal Council?
No. I feel like I'm very like conscious of the edit that they do. And I feel like, and so we do, I have two venues that I do for my watch parties in LA for Survivor. One of them is this wine bar. And at the wine bar, we always do like a, who do you think's going to go home tonight? And you're allowed to change your vote up until Tribal Council. And then if you get it right, you get like a little like punch card towards like a free glass of wine or something. But almost every single time, like right before Tribal Council, people know exactly who's going home. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so clear. Cause like everyone's talking and there's like, I don't know. It's the edit. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah. The edit, yeah. I feel like they're, you know, if you've watched enough Survivor, you're able to kind of read when they're trying to fool you.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of know what they're trying to do and you kind of get their game. I think they need to switch it up, especially for 50 coming. I think that they need to switch, like throw a wrench into what they typically do to throw us off, because I feel like people are able to guess. There are very few times where I am genuinely blindsided when it comes to Tribal Council. Jawan was one of them. I had a feeling, it's like, I thought it was going to be Sage at that point. And so like it's rare that I'm like genuinely like shocked when something like that happens. So yeah, the edit, they need to fix it. They need to tweak it a little bit to make it more, I don't know, make it so that I'm not sitting, like I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, but also tell me the story.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes they'll leave out part of the story in order to blindside us, but I still want to know what's going on, but you know, maybe from somebody's perspective instead of somebody else's perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Agreed.
Now, so in this past episode, Steven went on a journey. And this journey, we got the note that said, you know, there's a boat coming, boat came, whatever. They said, get on the boat if you're willing to do a very strenuous activity. Mm-hmm. Were you actually, did you actually think it was going to be very strenuous? Because there's a moment when I was like, they're lying and it's probably just going to be like a picnic at the beach and you're not doing anything. Like, what did you have in mind when it said a strenuous activity? And was it free soloing? Essentially.
So was it free soloing? You know what? I think I was just kind of expecting a strenuous journey. I was like, I feel like they don't usually say one thing and then it's like completely opposite. Mm-hmm. I was pretty much expecting a strenuous journey. Maybe I should be more curious in the future.
I was like, they're playing with us, they're messing with us. And then all of a sudden it's like the most strenuous thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, no, that actually was wild.
That was crazy.
Also, like, being as hungry and as tired as you are and then doing that, like, I mean, like, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. That was huge.
I'm, like, so proud. I'm so proud of him that he was able to do that. Because, like, if it were me, I'd be like, no, thank you. So I actually got to hear a little bit from Steven. And apparently they cut the cameras after he read the note. And a producer, which this never happens. And a producer literally said, hey, guys, when we mean strenuous, we mean incredibly, very, very strenuous. So if you do not think you can do it, do not go. And that is why no one else volunteered, because like they've never been so scared. Cause he literally was like, do not come, do not go. If you don't think that you can, and so they were picturing like just the worst case scenario. And I
that
guess
kind of was the worst case scenario. Yeah.
Kind of was.
I think they dodged a bit there.
Yeah, but I think that's so interesting that the producer, because apparently they never do things like that. They never insert themselves, but they were very nervous. And they just wanted to make it incredibly clear, like, you have to be mentally prepared for what you're about to do, because it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And the fact that he did that with so much time left, like, that coconut was not even halfway to the water. Like, how fast do you think he did that? Like, what do you think the time on that was?
I mean, like, he was locked in. He was talking to himself. He was, like, I think that was a man on a mission.
Apparently, it was, like, 2.5-3 miles or something like that.
Wow.
Give or take, because it was a whole,
like... Did he have to, like, go back? Or was it, like...
He remembered the numbers, so I don't think he had to go back. So where he started, and then he did just at the whole island, and then because he remembered the numbers, he didn't have to retrace any of his steps. He didn't have to, but it was like...
But was it just literally around the island?
The whole island, yeah. And then I think it was literally the whole circumference of the island. And then there was at one point where he like went over the rocks. And I guess it just worked out. Yeah, the tides were on his side, I guess, because he genuinely had so much time left over. And then he ends up with a block of oat. Do you think that that is enough payoff for what he did? Like, I feel like what to me, that's like a thing that you do with final 10. And at final 10, you get an idol or something. Like, that is so much work. And a block of oat could be great, especially with these few people left in the game. But like, I don't know. Give me an idol or something for that.
Yeah, no, it feels like a little bit like, oh, like you got something for Christmas and you didn't really like it, but you're like, thanks. I'm grateful.
An avocado. Thanks. Grateful for it, but like it seems like, you know, not the kind of payoff that I would expect. Do you think that we're going to see him play the block of oat this next episode, or do you think it's going to go unplayed?
Again, like, I have no idea.
Maddie's not spoiled. She has no idea. I don't know.
I have literally no idea. I hope he does. I hope he gets to play it.
I feel like there's a world in which he could convince himself that it's not needed. Like, imagine, I think that some people think that having stuff at Final Triple Council, like, here's my idol, here's my this. I didn't have to use it because all of the votes were on my side or whatever. Right. I feel like they can convince themselves that that is a better play. But with the block of vote, I don't know that that's, it's not as powerful as an idol. It's not powerful like some other things. And so I worry that he will like not play it when he absolutely should, because I don't think that it has as much like gun, like power behind it as an idol would. But I don't even know if he has the votes on his sides. Like, even if he blocks a vote, will it even matter?
Right. What is it? Six?
We're at six. Let's say he blocks. Let's say he assumes he's going to do with the final. I mean, maybe, yeah. Final block one of the block Savannah, Rizzo, or Sophie. Then it's still, then it's 3-2 if Sage and Christina vote with Steven. So it would, it would give them the numbers, say, have Sophie with an Sophie leave or Savannah or Rizzo leave. It could be, it could be good. And that could give him the power. Because I do think that Steven is in a good position in this game. I think people like him.
Yeah. And I feel like he's also just like, I mean, there's a non-zero chance that he's going to win another immunity. Like, right. I feel like he's done it before. He can do it again. So, but there are some people that maybe you can't say that about.
Yeah. I mean, there are still two quote unquote challenge beasts left in the game, Savannah and Steven. Yeah. So, you know, maybe they got out Sophie, but you know, there are two people in this game who have won before and in theory could win again. Everyone could win. I mean, anyone really could.
Yeah.
But I think that Steven, I think that he's playing a really good social game. I think that he's one of those people that people just like to be around. I just get that vibe where he's three dudes on a bench, was with Rizzo, Andrew Juan, or three guys on a bench or whatever it was. So there's, you know, while they're not working together, they're getting along, right?
Yeah.
Obviously Christina and Steven working well together. Sage and Steven seem to be working well together. I think that there is a way that he makes it to the end and gets the votes for the jury. I just think people like
he hasn't done anything to piss anyone off.
No.
Like, at all.
Nope. And he's won immunities, which he could say, because he's voted wrong, right? And that could be a knock against him, because he has voted incorrectly. I don't know how many times. Two times, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat, how many times Steven has voted incorrectly. So that is a knock against him. But I think he is able to make up for, you know, that mistake with his social game, a la like Kenzie from season 46. Like, I feel like, and my friend Ryan Irwin kind of made this comparison where Steven could be the Kenzie of this season, winning a social, winning because of a social game, even though he made mistakes and got blindsided and had, you know, votes against him. And I totally see that. Do you see that comparison at all?
You know what? I just blanked. Just completely
blank.
Here's what I think about, just like, I feel like everyone has an opinion when someone wins a season of Survivor. It's like, okay, so they won because of their social game, or like whatever. I feel like there's something to thinking about it just like in kind of black and white, and being like, this was like a very insular experience. They don't know, they don't see everything that we're seeing, obviously. And it literally could be like, just who do they like more?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because who, like, people, that's why whenever I say, like, you know, Russell from Heroes versus Villains and also Samoa, people are all like, you know, he's the goat. No one wants to give $1 million to people that they hate. it's the title for Soul Survivor, definitely, but also you're actively giving somebody a life-changing amount of money. I'm not going to give somebody a life-changing amount of money if they hate me and they called me mean names the whole time and made fun of me. Like, I'm not going to do that. Sorry.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that gets overlooked. It's why I think that the social part of the game is the most important part of the game, because you don't have to, it doesn't mean that you have to play to people's emotions, and it doesn't mean that you have to, like, just be a nice person and play the game and just don't be rude. And I think that that, to me, is playing a good social game. And I think that there are incredible players who play really good games who just forget that maybe being rude isn't part of the, you know, shouldn't be a part of the game. It shouldn't be,
you gotta be a villager. What you do. You gotta be a villager.
Exactly. But I think that Steven has a chance to win because of that. Because, like, what flashy things has Steven done, right? He's gotten an advantage because he went on a journey.
A very strenuous journey.
Don't
forget about that.
He won two challenges, one of which was one that Savannah also won, like outlasted him. So from the eyes of everyone there,
is hilarious to me. They were like, oh, gotta split it up. Guys and girls, gotta make it fair. Because obviously, guys have the advantage.
And then,
No, they don't.
No, they do not. And then, like, what, I mean, what else have we seen Steven do in his game? I feel like it's really just his game to me is just how people get along with him.
Yeah.
Unless he uses the block of vote in this moment and is able to turn the game.
Yeah, maybe he orchestrates something crazy and we don't even see it coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows?
I worry for him if he loses immunity. But because I think that there's a world in which Sage and Christina are like, man, I want that. I want to win immunity. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, having him here as one more person that I, you know, probably can't beat. But I don't know. I like his chances. I think he's kind of a dark horse in this race, but a good one.
I think something that, and this is like so random, this is like has literally nothing to do with what we're talking about right now. I feel like something I miss about like older Survivor seasons is like really like the actual like experience of it. Cause I feel like it's so focused on like social game and like the kind of like the resume building and all of that. But I really miss like when it was like more about like who's helping out at camp. Who's the one making the fire every night? Who are we relying on to hunt in like an actual way and not in like a just hee hee ha ha, let's watch someone go out and like put like a laugh track behind them trying to spear a fish. Like how does that actually, like the actual survival aspect of it, how does it actually play into what we're seeing in front of us? Does it play into it at all? Or is it completely like everyone's plotting all the time?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting thing because I think that in the early game, I think survival is actually a much bigger part of it than we would see the survival part of it. You know, we see these disaster tribes. They don't have fire. They don't have rice. And we can see how it's taking a toll on their brain. Like in this season, we saw Sophie with an eye, like she was when it got really hot, you know, she couldn't think straight. She couldn't, you know, whatever, because she hadn't eaten. And we're really because they're not getting rice and because they're not getting their machete or flint or whatever, we're seeing that kind of toll it takes on them. But later in the game, once the merge hits, I do not think that survival is a part of the game anymore. It's surviving the people rather than surviving the elements, because even when it was a longer game, you were halfway through and you were so close to that finish line. You were like, I don't actually, yeah, I'll take the reward. Yes, that would be so helpful. But I don't really care if you're the one getting fish in the second half, because, you know, I can eat fish in 12 days. I can eat fish in five days.
That's so true. It's the countdown to the end
The countdown to the end.
Like, but how long can I last like this?
Exactly. But I think like in that early time, those early points of the show, I think that's when we see people crack. That's when we see people really struggling. And I think it used to be a little bit more, I think, heavy on the, you know, let's go fishing and whatever else, all that providing. But now, I mean, it might be because they're in the same space all the time. I don't even know if there are a ton of fish in that sea anymore. Yeah. They're using the same beaches. Like, how many fish are actually going to be there? Have they been telling their friends to avoid these islands? Because that's where these 6 months, don't go there, you'll die, you know?
Yeah.
But I totally get what you mean, because I think that the survival part, at least in the second half, is not as important, because I think they are like, oh, we've got 10 days left. I can eat a burger in 10 days, you know?
Yeah.
Like how we got the rice negotiation 2 episodes ago, everyone's like, 7 days. I can wait.
Yeah.
7 days. I just wonder, you know, these rewards, we got a reward this episode. What was it? It was pasta, I think.
Yes, it was pasta.
pasta, one of my favorite. Honestly, that's the reward that I would really want to win. I feel like these rewards are not as like all encompassing as they used to be.
Yeah, like the Garnier Fructis like spa.
Yep.
Where's that? The
yeah, where's that? Where's the Charmin? Where's the Charmin toilet? Where's the Charmin toilet?
I think they need to bring back sponsored content in Survivor. Agreed. Like, in because I loved, like, it was one of my favorite parts of the show.
So ridiculous. The Home Depot, like when they like the building challenge, the Home Depot building challenge, like but they got like nails and stuff to actually build their shelter.
Obsessed.
I love the Coca-Cola fridge. The Coca-Cola fridge, 10 out of 10. Yeah. And, you know, the last time we got a sponsored reward was I'm pissed.
Yeah.
So I think that's so important to just to the world, to the Survivor community, bring back sponsored content.
Absolutely.
Because it's also just like the most random stuff.
Yeah.
Big Brother, they do sponsored stuff and The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
So
what's going on?
It's not like CBS isn't
sponsorship money.
Yeah.
I really hope there's sponsors on 50. Me too.
Yep. Yep. I wonder if Survivor thinks that they're above a sponsorship.
I mean, I don't know. Let's not take ourselves too seriously here.
That's what I worry about. Sometimes I worry that people take Survivor a little bit too seriously.
Okay, well, okay. I mean, I think like the edit is like hee hee ha ha enough that like they cannot be taking themselves that seriously. Like I look at the edit on like Survivor Australia compared to the edit on like there could be a laugh track on the US Survivor. Like, and they try and do that. They try and make you like giggle about something. I don't know.
It's so I think that, you know, bring back silliness. And I think that like I do like that we get some of the edit. Like we got the three boys on a bench, you know, mm-hmm. we're getting some of the silly moments at camp. But I think that, you know, Ponderosa, yes.
Mm, yeah.
Something. Please sponsor Ponderosa again. Agreed. Oh, I have a proposition for CBS listening. Send me out and I will do Ponderosa videos for you. I will do viral TikTok videos.
They used to do content out of Ponderosa, or yeah.
They used to film like YouTube
videos.
They were probably like 12 minutes long. When people got voted out, they would see themselves in the mirror. It'd be their first meal back. They would be talking.
Wait, that's what I want to see. That yeah. is what I want to see.
It's so fun. It was so fun.
That feels like the most real part of like, not that it's not like they're not actually out there doing this, but like that. Like that kind of moment when they are taken out of it and then they get back to like a shower and a bed. Like, I want to see that. Like, I want to know what that's like for them.
They were so good. And we got, the dragons. We got the dragons. They're like the shanty from season 41. Like a lot of really good stuff. It was the Ponderosa is really, really fun. Bring back Ponderosa. Please.
Well, it might be too late for 50. 51.
51. 51. Bring back Ponderosa, please, 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 please. So this episode we also got a new version of an old challenge. It was spelling immunity, but instead of on a wobbly table, it was on a turntable. And Steven and Sage did not drop one time. Do you think that this was a good change, or do we think that they should go back to the wobbly table or try something completely new?
I feel like I can't have an informed answer without having actually been there while they were doing the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I feel like you obviously see like cuts of everything, but you don't mm-hmm. know how long it actually was. And like, what, I don't know. Like, are you insinuating you're like, oh, I think they made it easier.
I think that they made it easier. I think on paper, it is a more challenging challenge. The blocks are not level. I think they mm-hmm. had kind of a slight curve to them. So when they built it up, if it spins, in theory, it's moving. It's actively moving around. In theory, it spins. But if everybody has thought about this and is taking their time and doesn't trip and really, like, really takes their time, I think it's a much easier challenge. Because the wobbly table, I've been able to do the wobbly table at the Survivor Beach Drop, which they've done mm-hmm. a couple of times. And they do it at Survivor Beach Drop and at the Survivor Cafe. It's an easier version because the rope is shorter.
Okay, also Survivor Cafe, hit me up. I'm just saying.
Apparently it's going on the road. It's going to different cities. I don't know what cities though.
Yeah, they won't tell me.
Hit up Reality Bar.
They banned me from the Survivor Cafe. No, I love Survivor out. Cafe.
No, I think it's a really fun idea. I didn't go to the one in Boston because I couldn't travel, but hopefully the next one's in New York.
Yeah, New York. I'll come back.
Or stay LA. With you, whatever. Yeah, go. Yes.
Just kidding. I'm from New Jersey. My mom's in New Jersey. I'll stay with her. Bring your mom to the Survivor Cafe day.
Yes, it's instead of bring your child to work, it's bring your mom to the Survivor Cafe day. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. All one day, everyone and their moms. And it's not just a saying. But with the wobbly table, it's difficult because it doesn't matter how slow you go. Like if you like randomly tug on the thing, you mm-hmm. will, it'll crumble. Like there's no, the balance is so different. Whereas I genuinely think when you're spinning, the balance is easier. I do think that Jeff said that he's going to 86 it. It's not going to be a thing anymore. Right. They're going to go back. If they do it again, they're going to go back to the old version, not this version, because I think Jeff himself thinks it's easier, but I wonder why they made that change. I'm glad they make changes like this. Like Survivor needs to adapt. They need to try new things.
Yeah.
Are there any, you're a big Australian Survivor fan. Are there any challenges from Australian Survivor you would want them to see? You'd want to see on an American Survivor, anything that you can think of?
I feel like not anything specifically, but I just feel like they're so creative.
Yeah.
Like, not like everyone's so creative. Like they are so creative. Like it is like the most specific thing that you could be doing. Like it's not just like throw a ball into like the, the hoop. Like it has like, it's like complex. I don't know. I feel like I'm more locked in watching a challenge on Australia. I think like my main want from like what I like about Survivor Australia is I think they do a really good job of like the edit is just so phenomenal on that show. And like the way they're presenting drama and it's really good. Really good, guys.
See, that's the one thing about Australian Survivor that I don't like. I don't like their edit. I think that their edit is way more, I feel like their edit is way more predictable and I can guess the winner in like the first five episodes.
Did you?
Yeah. I've gotten it right a bunch of times, except for the first season. And there's one other season where I got it wrong, but like the last four or five seasons, I've gotten them all right.
Wow. Okay.
In like,
the I'll just see myself out.
But I'm also, I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I'm just lucky, I think, maybe. But
yeah. No, I think they're talented. I think
their challenges are definitely.
You're a child prodigy.
not, I can't play the piano. I can't speak any languages. I can read the Australian Survivor edit it's the ABCs.
Yeah. Love that.
But I think that like there some of their challenges that they have. My favorite is the one where it's like it's set up like an individual immunity challenge, but it is a tribal challenge. So like holding bags above your head, or there was one where two people put a block in between people's legs and you hold that up. I like that because it is it's set up like you're pushing yourself to the limit, but you're doing it for your tribe. Mm-hmm. And I find that kind of setup incredibly interesting. And or like they hold the ones like off and they're like pushing the palms together and you have to, I think that is such a phenomenal, challenge design. And I want them to bring that to American Survivor so badly.
Make the challenges harder, guys.
Period.
Nobody wants to do a hard challenge anymore. Nobody wants to negotiate for rice anymore.
No one does. The rice negotiation is dead, or at least it's sleeping for probably a couple of seasons. Okay, so Maddie, I want to read you the next time on Survivor, the little blurb, the description for the next episode. Okay.
Yes, please,
episode 12.
Yes.
The name of the episode is The Die is Cast.
Oh.
Ooh. With the biggest reward of the season on the line, I'm going to guess that's loved ones, like letters from home, I'm going to guess. One member of a newly established alliance hopes to earn the extra sustenance to propel themselves further in the game. Castaways' advantages come into focus as the days left in the game dwindle. Then one alliance member must decide if they should flip against one of their own at a jaw-dropping tribal council on Survivor Wednesday, December 10th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m., whatever.
Wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I want to talk about this first part. So we probably, you probably think this is going to be the loved ones. Who do we think is the person, one member of a newly established alliance hopes to earn the extra sustenance to propel themselves further? It doesn't say food. It says sustenance. So I could even think that the sustenance could be,
I think it's
like
food.
Loved, maybe, but the you're sustenance? Sustaining yourself with a loved one's letter. Cause I feel like this could be Christina.
Oh yeah.
Like she has kids. Her newly formed alliance, I think, is Sage, Christina, and Steven.
Oh, because yeah. I think it's definitely not Savannah and Rizzo.
No. No. That's not newly.
No, I think the writing's on the wall.
Yep. Yep. So I think it could be like Christina.
Yeah.
Wanting to get that sustenance to propel themselves forward in the game.
Could also be Sage. I mean, she was just talking about how Jawan leaving was like, kind of, oh, period. Big Poppy Matt.
You agree?
I'm loving these screen names. Anyways, like a little username. I mean, she was just saying Jawan leaving was hard for her because that's who she was confiding in and like laughing with and like just being able to like be normal with. But
right. Yeah, I can totally see that. I definitely think it's one of those three though. I mean, unless there's a new alliance with Sophie in there or I don't know. I feel like it's got to be one of those three that they're talking about. And then we have then one alliance member must decide if they should flip against one of their own at a jaw-dropping tribal council.
Is this the same alliance that we're talking about?
So I think this is to me, alliance? The way I'm reading this, it is two different alliances.
Yeah. I mean, who's flipping?
I feel like that's
Savannah or Rizzo.
I think that's Sophie.
Actually, yeah.
Because we have seen in the episode previously where Sophie's like, I gotta make a move on these two. And I think at this point she's like, I really gotta make a move. And we saw a clip from the next episode where Sophie is talking to Christina, being like, I've gotta do something about Savannah and Rizzo. And I think she wants to get Savannah out more. Is the vibe that I'm getting. So I wonder if Savannah is going home. The car agrees. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like
for anyone watching this that is like, this girl has never seen an episode of Survivor in their life. During a watch party, I'm running around. Yeah. I'm not watching the episode. I go home and I watch it again and I fall asleep while I'm watching it. But I do.
She actually hates Survivor. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
No, I love actually no. Anytime I do an interview with anyone, I always say that Survivor is my favorite watch party that I do. And the community that Survivor brings out is unmatched by any other show that we do. But who's it gonna be? Savannah?
So here's the thing. Let's say there is, so knowledge is power. So hold on, wait, where did I see this? Somebody says knowledge is power has to be played at 6, which is true. The knowledge is power has to be played at 6. The block of vote also has to be played at 6. So there's a world in which Sophie tries you have to play the knowledge is power you have to play the block of vote before you leave for tribal council.
Okay.
And so there's a world in which Sophie plays the knowledge is power on Steven.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I'm sorry, I had that. I don't anymore. Because he played the block of vote. Because once you play the block of vote, the knowledge of power cannot steal it. So there's a world in which that happens, which would be
nuts.
Now, there's also a world in which she takes Rizzo's idol because the idol is good until five.
Because no one knows that she has the knowledge power.
Nobody knows.
Why wouldn't she take the idol? Why wouldn't she?
Okay.
That would be like the craziest move of all.
Here, this is my hot take. I think this is crazy, and I want to get your opinion on this.
Totally.
I think, do you remember season 41? Do you remember Xander from season 41?
Vaguely.
So everybody, Xander made it to final three. Somebody tried to use a knowledge power against him. He was like, I don't have it. You mean this fake idol, right? Kind of crazy moment. The fandom was like, Xander is winning. They were so certain that Xander was going to win the season. He did not. Spoiler alert. He got one vote, zero votes. I can't remember. One or zero, one or the other. And like afterwards, the fandom was going crazy. Erica didn't deserve the win, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Because they loved Xander so much. And the edit that Xander was getting was so good. Mm-hmm. We then heard from players after the season. And at the time, Xander was like 22, 23 years old. Like he was young. Mm-hmm. And we heard from players after the season that no one was taking Xander seriously. He was kind of a goofball. He was the goat to be brought to the end. Everybody felt like they could beat Xander no matter how good his final tribal council was, because that was his perception on the island. I think that that is Rizzo. I think Rizzo is the Xander of the season. And I think that personally, if that is correct, if my guess that Rizzo is seen as kind of a goofball who has no chance of winning in final three, what is the point of taking his idol? A public idol. Everybody thinks that he is one to beat or one easy to beat at final three. Sophie takes his idol, uses it on herself, uses it to vote him out. Like if everyone wants to sit with him, why are they voting him out? Right.
Well, so, I think she could use it to get someone else out. No?
She could use it to get somebody else out, but it has to be the right, I guess she could use it to play it on herself at final five.
To use it immediately after she,
I don't believe she does. I think she can keep the idol. So she can keep the idol until next week, but now she's got a bigger target painted on her back.
Yeah, people know that. She has the idol.
And then she maybe has to win final four fire making in order to guarantee a spot at final three. So I don't know. I just think that taking Rizzo's idol is not the move we think it is. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. When does knowledge, wait, someone said it. Knowledge is power has to be used.
It has to be played this week.
Okay. Yeah. So she has to.
She has to play it.
I hope she takes the idol from Rizzo and because she'll have the knowledge of who they're, because obviously they're all three of them are going to be trying to vote as a block. Mm-hmm. She'll know who that person is, throw the idol on them, and then get Savannah out or Rizzo or whatever. Yeah.
I think the only way that she would do that is if both Rizzo and Savannah are available to be voted out.
Oh, yeah.
That's... I think if Savannah is safe or if Rizzo is miraculously wins immunity, no offense Rizzo, I think that it would be more difficult for her to you know pull a move against one of them. I don't know. I think that this has kind of gotten a more complicated than I think, especially because like you don't want to vote the goat out. I'm wildly speculating here. Like I have no idea. There's no proof. From our perspective, he's playing an incredible game. But if everybody on the island thinks he's playing a bad game, why would you like playing a move against him? Is that even going to be received as a good move from the jury's perspective? Right?
I'm like, do they think he's playing a, well, I guess that's your theory. That's
my complete theory that's the only thing that makes sense in my head as to why they are letting him have this open idol this long.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like just kind of like when I'm thinking about like how they casted him, like if I was on Survivor with him, I probably would be like, this is like the funniest kid I've ever met in my life. Like he's been training his whole life for this. He's the like the super fan cast of the season. Like everyone knows it. Mm-hmm. And maybe I would like I would have some opinions on him potentially.
Yeah.
Like when there used to only be one super fan on each season of Survivor and they would have to hide that they're a super fan. He's the super fan of super fans. Mm-hmm. That
he is.
That everyone,
he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting. This was interesting. Maybe somebody says, could it be possible that they restore the idol that Christina had played? I don't hate that. Maybe they put the idol back into play and somebody finds an idol.
I mean, someone's gonna look for it. Yeah. For sure.
For sure. For sure. I knew I liked you, Big Poppy Matt. I agree with Teg. Rizzo isn't somebody who has the respect of the jury. He's a cool kid, though. Yeah.
He's a cool kid.
He's the younger. He's the youngest one. He's 25 years old. He's the youngest one on the cast. And I do think that affects how people perceive you. Now, again, Marianne wins. You know, a lot of young people win. Fabio win. Like, it's not, like, crazy to be young and win. Yeah. But I don't know. It's the only thing that makes sense as to why he's been able to keep that open idol for so long. Because yeah. if he is this massive target that everyone is worried about at sitting at Final Tribal Council and, oh my God, we got to get him out, blah, 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 blah. Why would you let him have that? And if my theory is wrong and Rizzo is the one to beat, then I think everyone else is not playing a good game.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping... I'm really hoping that I am right because then I just insulted everybody on the season.
Also hoping that you're right.
I love a wild theory. That's one thing about me. I love a wild theory. I started this question so long ago and we've just kind of talked about this. Will Sophie use the knowledge of power correctly and take Rizgod's damn idol? I don't know. I don't think so, but maybe.
I think so. You know what? I think so. I think you're wrong.
And now we're fighting.
And now we're arch nemesis.
We are a real Savannah and Christina.
Yeah. Okay. That was hilarious during Last Tribal. It made me so like uncomfortable because I'm so afraid of conflict. But I was just like, you guys are that tired. Oh, Maddie's correct.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
My aunt.
The girls are fighting. The girls are fighting.
My ops are in the comments. Yeah. No, that was the most. I literally, when I was watching that, I was like going like this, but I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. I was like, I hate this, but also it was like, well, I don't know.
And then Jeff was eating that shit up. He loved that.
It's a strong dislike. Put that on my tombstone. It's a strong dislike.
Yeah.
Really good. That is something. Did you hear? I don't know if you heard this, Maddie. I'll bring this up. So the Savannah and Christina fight at Tribal was planned ahead of time by them both. Did you hear about this?
Oh my God. I didn't.
Savannah made a TikTok about this and they planned this argument because they wanted Sophie S to think that it was going to be Savannah, that Christina was voting for Savannah. Right. And so they planned this.
Right.
Now, Savannah didn't realize that Christina was going to go as far as she did, apparently, or it was vice versa. One of them like took it like a little too far or whatever, and everything was fine, but it was a pre-planned fight. You know what? I don't care.
I think it's real.
I love it. And I don't care what she says. That fight was real to me.
Fight was real.
I loved
it. Girls are fighting. Okay.
I want more like that on Survivor.
You want more fighting?
I want more.
You heard it here first.
I want more petty disagreements on Survivor.
Yeah.
Because it's just like we see like one a season, two maybe a season. With Savannah has been so good because of the whole Juwan thing.
Yeah.
So I've been liking that. But I want more animosity.
I want more animosity. I feel like I understand why they only like they're like we want to avoid like you know making people the villain, like they're like avoiding casting villain like they're avoiding that.
Yeah,
but I think it's gonna happen regardless of whether they do it or not. Like I don't think that that's going to like change whether people are gonna say mean things about someone or like mm-hmm. like you look at someone like Parvati, like she owns being the villain in like mm-hmm. such an amazing and like empowering way. Like it truly is an edit on TV. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's bring back the animosity.
Okay, so here's the thing. I have no problem. I love a villain.
Yeah.
I do agree with Jeff though about not bringing villains onto the show for the sake of being villains, which is I think what they used to do.
Yeah.
They used to bring people with the idea that these two are going to be ops and these two are going to go head to head and there's going to be fighting because of how different they are or whatever. Yeah. And I don't like villain edits. And I think that, you know, we see these articles bring back villains on Survivor. Babe, we've got them. It's yeah. just they're not bad people, number one, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they are not editing them so that a normal person seems like a villain, because that's yeah. what they used to do. They used to yeah. edit normal people to seem villainous, Jerry, or they would have just not good people be the villain because they were villainous because they're not a good person, a la the Hanses, right? Mm-hmm. So, but like we get people like Savannah. Honestly, Sophie has villainous tendencies. Jake has had villainous tendencies. Like people,
I mean, I feel like that's part of the game now. Like yeah. everyone has to be a little bit of a villain at some point.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's. I think that people who are like, but there are no more villains on Survivor. I think that's a very cold take and a wrong.
We're
take.
All the villain.
We're all the villain.
We're all. Everybody's the villain now.
Everybody is the villain. You're the villain. You're the villain. Everyone is a villain. But yeah. I think that she is villain, and a villain is not a bad thing. Villains are good at Survivor. That's why yeah. That's why a villain won Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah.
That's why the final three were all villains.
Yeah.
That's why the final four, I think, were all villains. Because Jerry, yeah. Yeah, villains are good at Survivor because they've got that.
Because it really, like, it's really just a game.
Yeah.
It's just a game.
Would you play Survivor? And not the drinking game version, just the regular version?
I feel like I get the like what reality show would you be on a lot, just mm-hmm. in general. And I always say Survivor. I don't know if if the opportunity actually presented itself to me, would I mean, like how could you really say no?
Right. How many times are you going to be offered the chance to win $1 million?
Like not that many, probably. Yeah.
At least 10. And I, you know, I'm going to take all of them.
I'm going to take every single opportunity. Well, once you're offered the opportunity one time, the chances that you're offered it again goes way up.
Way up.
Yeah.
So you say Survivor number one over like Big Brother, over the challenge.
Big Brother scares me.
Same.
I do not know. like the idea that someone would be literally watching my every move yeah. for Lord help me. No. No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Literally, no thank
like,
you.
I would rather like look disgusting because I've been living outside than look disgusting because I've been rotting inside of like a studio lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think people who play Big Brother are so brave.
Oh, yes, strong. Very brave.
And have more chutzpah in
I don't
their
have a thick enough
little
skin. I do not
finger than I have in my whole body. I yeah. can't do it.
No, I can't. Yeah, it's just it's too much. But if you can do that, that's awesome. That's, and I will love to watch you do that.
And I'm so happy there are people who are willing to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy there are people that like Sari, when she was asked, she was like, yeah, Big Brother's so much harder. It's not because it's harder on your body, it's harder on your mind.
Yeah.
Because the only people you're talking to are in the game. In Survivor, yeah. I don't know if you know this, there are so many camera crews. And when you get interviewed during your confessionals, you're talking to a producer.
Yeah.
Like you're seeing people. And yes, you're only really interacting with your own cast, but there's Jeff that you see in real life. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like maybe sometimes the medical team needs to check you guys out or. Right. And then, like I said, all of the producers in Big Brother, there's literally nobody. You're nobody in person except for the people around you.
Wild.
I'm out. I can't
so
do
wild.
That. I can't no, do that.
That's like it's like obviously both are essentially social experiments. Mm-hmm. One is way more experimenty. like And that's, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm good off that. But I do have to say, I can make a fire. So that's the only reason that I would go on Survivor.
Huge. That's huge.
Yeah. I was Some a summer camp counselor. I'm good with outside.
I get Maddie on Survivor immediately.
Here's my my fun fact. I majored in geology in college. Yeah, so I'm big, like, outdoors, rocks. I love to go camping. We used to camp for class. But now I work in digital marketing. The geology to digital marketing pipeline is hot these days. Yeah, thank you, Maddie, for Survivor 51.
Maddie for Survivor 51.
You guys, listen.
You heard it here first.
I think I would play a killer social game. I would. I just know I would.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
And I could make the fire. So done.
And
done. And done.
You're already integral to the team. You're so important because.
But I can't open my eyes underwater. And I feel like that would.
She's out.
Yeah. Would not be good.
No. As long as you don't shatter the goggles all over your face, you'd be
fine. I'm like
a
decently strong swimmer as well. So.
Yeah, but you're given goggles usually. It's just not everyone uses them. Yeah. So yeah,
must be nice. Way to rub it in.
So I can't. So I want to know. We're talking about Suri. So I want to know, season 50 is coming up. Is there anybody that you have your eye on who you think is going to do well? Anybody that you think is going to go home soon? Like, what are your thoughts on 50?
What are my thoughts at all in general? I just hope everyone has a great time. Like, okay, someone I am excited to see come back, obviously, Mike White.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see him just in general. And I'm curious whether, like, because of his notoriety, like, he'll just go.
So I think that he's either an early boot because of his notoriety, or he goes to the end because of his notoriety. Yeah. Like, I feel like there could be people playing for the White Lotus spots.
Yeah, like how much, like, are we going to hear them? Can they talk about White Lotus on the show?
I have no, I'm going to guess like maybe.
The cameo. Yeah.
I mean, can they?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Also, I wonder if they're going to be doing any kind of, like, you know, the challenges where they're like, here's every Survivor logo ever, put them in order.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do something, some bullshit like that? I mean, it's like Survivor 50, so, like, they should all know.
They probably would do something. So, like, if you're thinking about, like, All-Stars, Survivor All-Stars, there was, like, a trivia one where it was, like, trivia for the first 7 seasons, and people had to get the trivia right. I don't remember if they did that on 40. I feel like they do sometimes do kind of, like, talk
like the
about
final boss of like Survivor knowledge.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that happening, maybe. I feel like, you know, Ozzy would be out. Like, I think that like Suri might know, but like I don't think Ozzy or Colby would know that. I don't think Jenna would know that. Like, I think that they're Aubrey would maybe know. Probably Emily and Genevieve, maybe, but like I feel like a lot of people don't know a lot of stuff about all of Survivor. Does your roommate like Survivor?
Do you like Survivor?
Yeah.
I like.
Period.
Well, your family really likes Survivor. But you.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, we watch.
I'm probably not like the diehards.
Yeah.
But I watched.
My roommate's name is also Maddie, by the way, if you were curious.
Maddie Squared. I'm trying to get as many people to watch Survivor as they possibly can before 50. So I'm trying to spread the word. I'm like wearing my Survivor hat around. I'm really trying to spread the word. Yeah.
Here's my plea to CBS to finally pay attention to me and let me operate in an official capacity with them. Every time there is a Survivor watch party during a sporting event, there's obviously like people, like, because we leave like one TV on basketball or whatever they're watching. And every time I go up to the people that aren't there for Survivor but are like being forced to watch the show, and I'm like, hey, like, I know you're not here for the watch party. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm curious what your experience is like. Almost every single time I have a conversation with someone, they're like, I've never watched the show before, but I might. Like because I'm it's like genuinely the experience of watching it with other people and seeing other people care about it. It makes you kind of like, there's something here. Like, mm-hmm. I'm interested, I'm curious. But there have been like a few people that like actually will get into Survivor because they've stumbled upon mm-hmm. a watch party or something like that. Like, it's just free marketing.
And I think it's a show that can appeal to 98% of Americans. Like, I think that there are so many people who do like the show, can like the show. And I think that Survivor is just one of those shows that I just think that people gravitate towards. And so I'm trying to get as many people as I can to like it before 50. So
yeah,
here's to cross my fingers. Here's to hoping. Well, Maddie, are there any thoughts that we didn't talk about the episode or the next episode that you want to make sure we hit?
That I want to make sure that we hit. Not really. I would just say everyone be kind on the internet.
Real.
Yeah. Everyone's a real person and they're out there reading everyone's comments and stuff.
That is so real.
That's really just all I have to say about that.
Incredibly real. Huge, huge retweet. Agreed. Yes. But before I let you go, we do have the very important.
Oh my God. My favorite award.
Yes. you know, the lore.
Yeah.
The Elliot Award. Now, for those who don't know, it's the award that we give to the player who we think is setting themselves up best for the next episode. We only have 2 episodes left. And so I think that this could go to a couple of different people. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to tell my idea first?
I want you to tell your idea first.
Okay. So I think on paper, it's probably Steven. I think that Steven is really setting himself up well because we know that Sophie cannot use the knowledge's power if he uses the block of vote. And he has made inroads with Christina and Sage. And so I think that there's a world in which they could get either Savannah or Rizzo or Sophie out, which would be incredibly exciting. So I guess I'm going to go with Steven, even though I said it's on paper. I think it makes the most sense.
I think I would agree with that, actually.
I think it makes the most sense. I think he's the one who has the more power than I think most people might assume. And I really hope he's able to utilize that power and wields it correctly, unless he doesn't do it at all, which I feel like could happen, which makes me nervous.
Yeah. I guess, you know what? I guess we'll just have to find out.
I guess we'll just have to find out.
I guess we'll just have to find out next time on Survivor.
Yep. Now, Maddie, where can we find, you know, if anybody is local to LA, where can we find, you know, the next hosts, the parties that you're going to be hosting?
Yeah, totally. You can find us on Reality Bar Instagram.
Is it just at Reality Bar?
It's just at Reality Bar on Instagram. Also, if you're not even in LA, follow us. I'm trying to take this everywhere.
Global, really, baby.
Yeah, no, I genuinely think that there needs to be a cultural shift about the way that we consume, like, entertainment. And I feel like people who like sports have been prioritized in public spaces over almost anything for literally ever. And I think that there are just so many more communities that need a third place or a third space to go to. And I would love to create that for them. Reality Bar.
I love that. And I also want to encourage people to peer pressure their local bars into putting on Survivor. I've been slowly chipping away at the one around the corner of my house from my house. And one day they're going to say yes. And, you know, and I think that everyone should continue trying to do that. Chip away, you know,
chip away.
One day they will say yes. This is the only time that I endorse that kind of behavior. Usually no means no, but when it's a bar putting on Survivor, one day they'll say yes.
You know what? I'm going to be in New York for Christmas, so I'm going to go to your neighborhood bar. I'm going to bully them.
Yes.
Playing Survivor.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on. It's crazy. Well, thank you all so much for hanging out and chatting with us. I'll be back next week, Matt Chat. Not sure of the guest yet, so stay tuned for that. It'll be fun, whomever it is. But Maddie, again, thank you so much for chatting and hanging out with me. And everybody, enjoy the episode tomorrow, and I'll see you guys next week. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.